If I could repeat Richard's welcome at the beginning, and if this is your first time on the barge, a particular welcome to you. I don't know if it comes with the territory as you get older, but I find myself increasingly stumped by the inevitable question at this time of year, namely, what do you want for Christmas? I know what I don't want. I don't want socks. Certainly don't want socks. But beyond that, I'm floundering. I wonder what's on your wish list for Christmas for this year. Perhaps it's the executive shooting gallery that I came across the other week on a website. It's a miniature version of one of those shooting galleries that you find in arcades, if you know the sort of thing I'm talking about. The blurb reads as follows. It says, "For the hotshot executive, there's nothing like our vintage-style arcade shooting gallery, cunningly scaled down for desktop play. Comes complete with gun. Only $19.95. Well, one customer review reads as follows: "Great fun, and results in a lot less work being done in the office." That was submitted by Carl from the Elephant and Castle. Well, what's on your Christmas wish list? What gift would you like to find under the tree this year, or at the bottom of your executive stocking from your nearest and dearest? Have you thought of asking for a gift from God this Christmas? Have you thought of asking for a gift from God? Perhaps you think, well, gosh, it's hard enough coming up with ideas of gifts from my nearest and dearest, never mind from God himself. Well, don't worry if, like me, you struggle to come up with ideas for the wish list. Because God has already told us what it is that he's offering to us. He's already told us what he's offering. In a verse from the Bible that's printed on the carol sheet, so just under where it says address, in that box, it says this: "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just consider for a moment with me the second half of that sentence. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice what God's gift is. The gift that God is offering us is eternal life. So it says the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is a word that the Bible uses for relationship with God himself. It's knowing God personally. So Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." If you do a street poll and you ask people the question, if you could know God personally, would you want to? Most people say, well, yes, I would. Well, that is precisely what God is offering to us, to know him personally in this life, but also in the life to come and forever. God's gift is eternal life, a reality now, but also beyond the grave. Notice secondly that this eternal life is a free gift. So the verse says, "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you do a street poll and you ask people the question, how do you think you get this eternal life? How do you think you get to heaven? Most people would say something like, by living a good life, by doing my best, by being religious. And the common assumption in all of those responses is that you earn it. If you're good enough, then God accepts you. But this verse says that eternal life is a free gift from God. We cannot earn it through anything that we do. In fact, a whole lifetime of good works or of religion could not earn you eternal life. Either we receive it as a free gift or we don't receive it at all. Notice thirdly that this gift of eternal life comes only through Jesus Christ. What does the verse say? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the gift of eternal life comes only through him, through Jesus. It's for those who are in Christ through faith in him. The other day we received one of these letters in the post, assuring us that we have been selected, we had been handpicked by some computer, and we were guaranteed a free gift. Guaranteed, it was ours for the taking. And all we had to do was to ring the telephone number on the sheet at 60p a minute. Now imagine if I had responded by saying, well, ringing that particular telephone number seems to me a little bit restrictive, a bit cramping. I'm just going to ring whatever number I want, thank you very much. I'm not going to be dictated to that I've got to ring this particular number. So I ring a different number and I say, hi, I'm calling for this free gift that you're offering. What sort of response do you think I'm going to get? Well, God is saying that his gift of eternal life is available only through Jesus Christ. It's only by ringing his number, if you like. Now, the reason for that is not hard to see. The reason is not hard to see. When a person gives you a free gift, you get it for free, but somebody has had to pay for it. So someone else has paid the price. It's only free for you because someone else has picked up the bill. And it's the same with eternal life. Eternal life is offered to us by God for free. But it can only come free to us because someone else has paid the price. And eternal life does not come cheaply. The Son of God came into our world as the man Jesus Christ in order to pay that price. And as he hung on a cross in first century Palestine, he paid the price. He suffered the judgment that we deserve, so that eternal life could be offered to people like you and me for free. That is why the gift comes only through him, through Jesus. In the course of his career, the evangelist Billy Graham has spoken to more than 200 million people in person. So not just over television, but in person, 200 million people. But right at the beginning of his career as a lanky 31-year-old, he managed to get a 20-minute appointment with President Truman. Towards the end of the allotted time, sitting there in the Oval Office, Dr. Graham asked President Truman about his religious background and his religious leanings. Well, the president replied in his Missouri accent that I'm not going to try and imitate, but well, he said, I try to live by the Sermon on the Mount and by the Golden Rule. To which Dr. Graham replied, it takes more than that, Mr. President. It's faith in Christ and his death on the cross that you need. Well, that's a bold thing to say in that situation to the President of the United States. But he was absolutely right, wasn't he? No one gets eternal life as a reward for living a good life. It comes only as a free gift through trusting in Jesus and his death on a cross for us. And that is true whether you are the President of the United States or the President of a company here in the Wharf or whether you sweep the streets of Cabot Square. What do you give the man or woman who has everything? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wouldn't that be something worth asking God for this Christmas time? Something worth receiving from him and saying thank you for? As a gift, doesn't it just have the edge maybe on an executive shooting gallery? Even if it does come with 9 fixed targets, 2 motorized moving targets and classic carnival music. Amazingly, you do meet people who are not at all interested in this gift that God is offering them. Inside a Christmas cracker, you get all manner of gifts, don't you? One of the top 5 gifts that you get in a cracker is the little plastic moustache. You know the thing I mean, little black moustache with 2 nose clips. Extremely painful to wear unless you're 4 years old. It's not the sort of gift I've seen anyone get very excited about. Well, some people dismiss God's offer of eternal life as if he were holding out one of those plastic moustaches from a Christmas cracker. How unwise that is comes into sharp focus when we consider what the alternative is to accepting God's gift of eternal life. The first half of that verse in the box reads, "The wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. This verse comes at the end of a passage in the Bible about who we are serving. Who we are serving. It puts before us two masters, God and sin. The Bible says that all of us serve one of those two masters. If it's not God we're serving, then it's sin that we're serving. Now, sin is a Bible term for rejecting God's rule over us. That's what it means, rejecting God's rule over us. So instead of accepting his rule over me, we live as if we are the boss. So people say things like, "I will live my life as I want. I will not have my beliefs and my behavior dictated to me by some higher power." Well, that is sin. When people pull their Christmas crackers and they put their little paper crown on that you get in Christmas crackers, when they pull the cracker and they put the little paper crown on around the dinner table, that actually pictures very well what sin is. Sin is setting myself up as king in my own little world, my own little universe. Now that may seem to be the ultimate in freedom. I am my own master. But the Bible actually says that we are enslaved to that sort of lifestyle. If our master is not God, then our master is sin. And in contrast to God, sin is not a good master to have. What do we get from serving him? Well, what does the verse say? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That is the end result of a life lived as I want to live it, rather than how God wants us to live. Death here refers not just to physical death, but also to what the Bible calls the second death, eternal separation from God. The idea you often hear that we all just end up together in some big clubhouse in the sky having a drink and having a laugh, that is another popular myth. It's a popular myth. The Bible says here, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. And eternal separation from God is a serious business. Some people in the pub on a Thursday night may like to speak with bravado about hell as being a joke. It'll be a laugh because all my mates will be there. But in our quieter moments, most of us have an inkling deep down that the Bible's warnings about the horror of that place are closer to the mark. Sin is a very bad master. It is a terrible boss to have. The wages he pays are appalling. Wonder if you're happy with your pay at the moment? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but when you look at your salary slip at the end of the month, do you smile or do you groan? Well, what do you think will be on the salary slip that you receive at the end of your life? If we serve sin as our master, if we just live as we want and we refuse to accept God as our boss, at the end of our lives, on our salary slip, it will say eternal death. That is the wages of sin. That is what sin pays us after a lifetime in his service. That is what we will have earned and what we will deserve. So two masters, God or sin. Two end results, eternal life or eternal separation from God. Two options, to accept the free gift of eternal life offered to us through Jesus Christ, or to receive the wages that we deserve. It's very black and white, isn't it? The Bible doesn't really do grey, it's just very black and white. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For those who have already turned to God and accepted him as their boss, this gift of eternal life through Jesus is already yours. Christmas is a fantastic time, isn't it, for saying thank you to God again. And it's a great time for recommitting ourselves to serving God in our lives. But if that's not you this evening, if that's not you, can you see that sin may seem to be an exciting master to serve now, but he is in fact a tyrant. He's a despot. And he pays terribly in the end. By contrast, God is a very good boss to have. In fact, he's the best boss going. To everyone who will turn to him and accept his authority over them, he offers this free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Wouldn't this Christmas time be a good time to change employers? We've got a leaflet table at the back, and you're welcome to take any of those leaflets for free. One of them is this little booklet, or a little tract, called How Silently, which explains the message of Christmas. And it ends with a prayer that I'm going to pray now, a Christmas prayer. It's really a prayer to change employers. And it might be appropriate for someone here at the moment to pray it in the quietness of their own heart and mind. If that's you, please do that. But if not, let's all just be quiet and pause to reflect for a moment. So, Christmas prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus into the world to die for me. I'm sorry for pushing you out of your rightful place in my life. Please forgive me. Please come into my life as my Saviour, Lord, teacher and friend, and help me to live for you from now on. Amen. Well, if you did pray that prayer, please do tell me afterwards so we can help you with the next step. It might well be that you're someone for whom praying that prayer this evening would have been completely inappropriate. It's just not where you're at all. You might have all sorts of questions and issues you want to discuss. Well, we have a number of different options for helping you to take the next step. We have a course called Christianity Explored, a new one beginning in the new year. Many people have found that helpful. And we also have regular meetings here on a Sunday evening. Do come back and find out more in 2005. We're going to now sing our final carol together, Hark the Herald. So please do stand as the music starts.
Sinners reconciled. Please sit down. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and then mulled wine and mince pies and other refreshments will be passed around among us. And I think it's probably safest if we stay in our seats, unless you need to go urgently. Stay where you are, and things will be passed around on trays to you. We're glad you've been able to join us tonight. We meet here every Sunday at 6 o'clock, except next Sunday. So don't come and join us next Sunday, because we won't be here. But do join us on Sunday the 2nd of January at 6 o'clock, and every Sunday night after that. If you aren't all carolled out tonight, some people are going up to St Anne's Limehouse, which is another 10 minutes walk away, and there's another carol service there this evening that you might even want to join. If not, do stick around. Do visit the table at the back on your way out, where there's various cards and bits of literature, some of the things Marcus mentioned and more. So do browse that as you go out. Everything there is quite free. And you'll also see on the right there's a bin as you go out that says Retiring Collection. And there's a collection there in aid of Edith Ramsey House, which provides sheltered accommodation for the elderly here in the East End. Let's just bow our heads and pray as we close. Now, Father God, we give you great thanks for the opportunity we've had to meet tonight, to sing your praises and to hear Marcus speak the Christian message. Thank you for warning us of the consequences of lives lived in rejection of you, and would you give us acceptance of the free gift of life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.